Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2. We are talking about the gracious hand of God. And God's hand has been stretched forth to us already. Miracles are already taking place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nehemiah chapter 2. We read verse 7 to 9 and verse 18. I also said to him, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asa, keeper of the king's forest, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple, and for the city wall, and for the residence I will occupy. Can you read with me the next sentence? And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request. So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. We jump to verse 18, and we shall read verse 18 together. Three, go. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began the good work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible is replete with anthropomorphic expressions. While God is a spirit, is described many times in Scripture as having human characteristics. So here, the Bible talks about the eyes of God, the hands of God, and so on and so forth. Those are anthropomorphic expressions. God is spirit. Nehemiah and several other Bible characters alluded to the hand of God as the secret of their success. Amen. And we see Ezra in chapter 7, verse 9, making that allusion. Ezra chapter 7, verse 9. He had begun his journey from Babylon on the first day of the first month, and he arrived in Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month. What was the secret? For the gracious hand of his God was on him, that he could make that journey, cover that distance, without any trouble on the way. He alluded it to the gracious hand of the Almighty God. We see Nehemiah doing the same thing in verse 8 that we just read. He said, because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request. Tonight, as we talk about the gracious hand of God, when that hand comes upon you, may we find it difficult to deny you of your request. Did you hear that? May we find it difficult to do what? To refuse you, to deny you. When you go to meet your boss, say, sir, I remember the last time I was promoted was January last year, and this is January again. Your boss will not say, but we just promoted you now. He will say, let's do something about it. And by the time you get back to the office next day, your promotion letter will be waiting for you. I didn't hear your amen. You thought it's a joke. The king granted my request. Even though it wasn't time to go on leave or on vacation for Nehemiah. But he appeared to the king and said, "Sir, there's an urgent assignment. There's an urgent demand upon my life to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the broken walls." And the king granted his request. And the king was perhaps still saying, "What? Tell me more. What more do you need?" Even the things he didn't ask for, do you discover that the king provided? God will go the extra mile for you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And by verse 18, Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem now, and he began to share testimony of the gracious hand of God upon your life. I see the gracious hand of God coming upon your business, coming upon your marriage, coming upon your family. And when men ask you what is the secret, you will tell them about what? The gracious hand of God. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 37. We see the testimony of another man of God. Ezekiel 37 from verse 1. Ezekiel 37. Media, Ezekiel 37, not 7. Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Wow. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in a place that, ordinarily speaking, I would not love to be. It was in a valley, right in the middle of it, and the valley was filled with what? Dry bones. Very dry bones. Verse 2. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. Bones that were very dry. Praise the Lord. And you remember the rest of the story. That by the time we are concluding this portion of scripture, the very dry bones have been transformed to an exceeding great army. Tonight, something is happening to somebody here tonight. You are not going back the same. Every dryness of your life, they are giving way to fertility, to fruitfulness by the mighty hand of God. There's no doubt that the unimaginable, the miraculous, the supernatural begin to occur whenever God places his hand on a man or thing. As we seek God for a supernatural help tonight, we need to know that the secret to that experience is the gracious hand of God. For Nehemiah to have embarked on a project, and in 52 days, he was able to complete the secret of the supernatural help that we have been talking about is what? The gracious hand of God upon his life. Hallelujah. And it's my prayer that tonight, by the mighty hand of God coming upon your life, you also begin to have testimonies. The unusual, the unimaginable, the miraculous, the extraordinary, and the supernatural will also begin to happen in your life. Will begin to happen in your family, begin to happen in Koyi Baptist Church. In the name of Jesus, Hallelujah. Many positive and outstanding things happen when the hand of the Lord comes upon a man's life, his family, his business, his career, and the church. I want to look at some of them tonight. The list we have here is not exhaustive, and thereafter we shall pray and trust God to honor his word in our lives, in Jesus' name. When the gracious hand of God comes upon a man's life, he will experience supernatural favor. Supernatural what? That means irresistible favor. That when men see you, they can't but bless you. They can't but honor and respect you. Praise the Lord. And that's what you have just said about Nehemiah. That the king could not tell him no. The king could not say, Nehemiah, but where is the replacement? If you leave now, it's going to take over your assignment while you're away. The king granted all his requests. Everything he mentioned, the king kept releasing unto him. Even though he did not ask for cavalry, he did not ask for soldiers, the Lord still gave him those in addition. Tonight, as the gracious hand of God come upon your life, favor will be your portion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, you will experience supernatural acceleration. Supernatural acceleration. All your mates that you went to school, they have gone ahead of you in life. Finished together. You even had a better result than some of them. Job, you've not gotten job. They're inviting you to their weddings. You can't marry because there's no job. How will you marry, bring a woman to the house when there's no money? You are still living under your parents' roof. And you can't talk about marriage. Sister will ask you, if I marry you now, where will you take me to? How are we going to eat? Is it hallelujah we're going to chop? Hallelujah is not a legal tender. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But they say, God, when his hand comes upon a man's life, no matter how far they have gone, when God's hand comes upon you, you will not just catch up with them, you will overtake them. That's what we call divine acceleration. Amen. 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 First Kings chapter 18. Let's see a man that the Lord gave supernatural acceleration. It wasn't just speed. Okay? Can we read together? The power of the Lord come upon who? Elijah. And tucking his cloak in his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. You remember the rain had stopped falling because Elijah prayed that there should be no rain. Now God told Elijah, go, I want to send rain upon the land. Eventually he prayed and prayed and prayed. And there was a sign in the sky that rain was about to fall. And the man of God told the king, look at verse 14, 44 rather. The seventh time the servants reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before what? Before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain came on and Ahab rode off to Jezreel, leaving the man of God behind. What a wicked king. We have been asking for rain. Rain has now come. The man who prayed for the rain is still around. And you have a chariot. And you saw rain coming. You cannot say, okay, now that God has eventually brought rain, our quarrel is over. Elijah also used to enter chariot so that we can go together. He left the man of God and hitched up his chariot and was moving at terrific speed so that rain will not beat him. But he thought he left him behind. God never abandons his servant. The Bible says the power of God came upon who? Elijah. And he outran the chariot. I'm guaranteeing you tonight, by the hand of God coming upon your life tonight, you will overtake all your foes. All the people, all your colleagues that have gone ahead of you, you will not just catch up with them, you will overtake them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. The gracious hand of God. When you read this in other translations, use the hand of the Lord. So whenever we are talking about the hand of the Lord, we're actually talking about the power of the Lord. When that power comes upon a man, you must surely accelerate. Speed and acceleration will come upon your life. Praise the Lord. I feel like sharing this story in the book of Genesis with a young man here tonight that has been trusting God for a life partner. And you think that, can I make it? What God did for Joseph, he will do for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say, what God did for Joseph, he will do for you. And what was it that God did for Joseph? Divine acceleration. Start having big dreams as a young boy. But unfortunately, instead of getting the manifestation of his dream, they were all negative experiences. From his parents' house, you remember how he landed where? In the pit. From the pit, he landed where? In Potiphar's house. Everything is P. From Potiphar's house, he landed where? In prison. But from the prison, he landed where? In the palace. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah for somebody here tonight. His story just changed within a split second. And they brought Joseph to the palace. And I saw in one day what God can do for a man. Less than a day, actually. That the same day, he got promotion. The same day, he got a wife without proposal. Bro, men that are here, you know how it is. To tell man, say, I love you, I want to marry you. Is it easy to propose? Tell me now. Because they are here, you don't want to confess. I have this friend that went to propose to his sister. And he got a no. And what you are laughing, it's only a laughing matter for that bro. He got a no and he was coming back. He forgot his house address. He had passed his house. Tete, and somebody saw him on the road and said, where are you going? Say, I'm going home. Say, you have passed your house. God delivered Joseph from proposal. Did he discover that Joseph never proposed? The king just looked at him and said, but you are old enough to marry. How can you be a prime minister without a woman? You look at the priest. He said, I saw one girl in your house the other day. I guess it's your daughter. Oh, yeah, bring her. Joseph, take a wife. God delivered him from fasting and prayer, all those things before getting a wife. Promotion in one day, wife followed, and as he was taking his wife about to go, the king said, how can you be going home on legs, prime minister, with a beautiful bride? Say, give him my chariot. all in one day. Is there any bro here tonight believing God for that miracle? Shout hallelujah. You better shout it where. Don't mind whether we are here or not. Amen. Oh. Amen. Oh. Oh. I always say, God, why didn't you show me this when I was about to look for a woman to marry? Ah! Fasting and praying to get a God, is this the one? Is it that one? Is it this one? And the day of proposal come, oh my God. You always read some waiting to go and meet the woman. I see in the Bible, I say, God, why did you show me this some years ago that I don't need to fast and pray? That you just delivered the woman free of charge for me like that. That's why I'm praying for you here tonight. Whether your son is here or not, and you are believing God for this kind of miracle for him, may the Lord do it in his life in Jesus' name. Supernatural acceleration in family life, in business life, in career. God can give you acceleration. It doesn't matter how far your colleagues have gone. You will catch up with them. And you will catch up with them gloriously. In the name of Jesus Christ. Supernatural empowerment is another thing we experience when the power of God, the hand of God, comes upon our life. We just read that in the same 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46. Elijah was supernaturally empowered to outrun the chariot. It's like a man running faster than a vehicle. How that is possible, I can't explain. He did this in the Old Testament. He did it also in the New Testament. Do you remember the story of Philip? That while Philip was preaching, the Bible said the Spirit of God just took him, and the next place we are finding Philip was in another community. Spirit transportation. Amen. Amen. Oh. Supernatural empowerment. You will experience supernatural victories when the hand of God comes upon you. Psalm 44. Psalm 44. Verse 1. Psalm 44. Can we read together from the screen? We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand, you drove out the nations and planted our fathers. You crushed the peoples and made our fathers flourish. Leave it in verse 2, please. With your what? With your hand. You did what? You drove out the nations. You know, we are talking about the gracious hand of God. And when we are talking about the hand of God, actually, there's the positive and the negative. Okay? When God is stretching that hand to deal with our enemies, it's working the negative, okay? With your hand, you drove out the nations. And after driving them out, what did he do? He planted our fathers. You may call that partiality or favoritism. Hallelujah. But God will favor you. Amen. If it means driving out some people, he will drive them out so that it can be planted. I just remember the story of a man in our local church way back where I was coming from. Was working in an office, elderly man. Fortunately or unfortunately, it was a very young girl that was his boss. And this young girl will be harassing and troubling this elderly man. Every time Baba will come to church and say, Pastor, pray. This young girl is disturbing me in the office. How can a young girl of my daughter's age be troubling me like this? One day he came like that and my wire touched. You know when wire touched? I got provoked in the spirit and I didn't know when I said certain things. I said, God, sack this lady. And as you remove her, put this man in a position. And by the time he got to office on Monday, he met a sack letter for the lady and a promotion letter for himself. With God's hand, he drove out some people and planted his own people. The gracious hand of God, when it comes to work in your favor, it doesn't matter who is on the way. He will bulldoze them, clear the way for you, and plant you gidigba. Amen. Amen. So when we get to the point of prayer tonight, I encourage you to pray. As I was praying tonight, I said, God, there can be no other night other than this night. We don't want a carryover. So some people are testifying, say, we heard though what you did in the time of our fathers. They told us a story. And what was the story? With your aunt, you did what? Drove out the nations. Nations in plural. And you remember the story? The Philistines, the Amalekites, the Gagashites, all the Hittites. God drove them out and planted our fathers. What did he do next? You crushed her. Excuse me, what does it mean to crush? I'm sure you know what it means to crush. This Navigy is getting serious for me. That it's like God is going to crush some things. Crush some people. Crush some forces that are occupying what belongs to you. He said, you crushed the peoples and made our fathers to do what? To flourish. What next? This is the secret to read it and follow as we are reading together. Can we read together? It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was what? Your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face. For you do what? For you love them. I can tell you tonight that God loves you. It's not a function of what you have done. It's not even going to be a function of how much of prayer we can pray tonight. It's simply because God loves me. Amen. Do you believe God loves you? There are some here tonight that the devil has told you several times that God does not love you. If he loves you, why will you be going through this? Why would this be happening to you? God hates you. Why don't you kill yourself, commit suicide, and die? It's better to die than to be alive. And you are saying God loves you. Everywhere around your life, you pasted the sticker, supernatural help. On your car, supernatural help. On the door of your house, supernatural help. On your Bible, supernatural help. Where's the help? God loves you. It was not by their sword. Amen. It was not by their what? By their sword that they won the land. We'll be conquering territories for the Lord this year as we go to plant churches. Amen. It will not be by our sword. It will not be by our experience. It will not be by our anything. It will be simply because of what? God's right hand, God's arm, the light of his face, and his love. Thank God for human connection. Human connection is good, but it won't take us far. But when the right hand of God is at work, my beloved, that settles it. Amen. So when the gracious hand of God comes upon a man's life, he will experience supernatural victories. You will hear one chasing 1,000. And two chasing how many? 10,000. That is the gracious hand of God at work. You will experience supernatural provisions. When the gracious hand of God is upon your life, Psalm 104, verse 28. Psalm 104, verse 28. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we read verse 28 together? When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. I love that. Can you see our God? Right in the wilderness, the Bible says he furnished the table for his children. The only problem they had was that they lacked manners. The Israelites. The simple thing they were supposed to do was to say, Daddy, give us food. And when they needed to change diet, the Lord said, God, give us something else. But because they didn't have manners, they were protesting. And God was not happy with them. I'm sure you remember the story. He was feeding them with what? What do we call it? Manna. And they ate that for how many years? Every morning they would gather. And they were gathering. They were okay. Instead of say, God, okay, thank you for this manna. We appreciate it. And make a request. God, in the storehouse of heaven, apart from manna, I think there's something else there. Give us that also. But rather than doing that, one of them just moved. I don't know whether it's a Baptist church. He gathered some people and said, next Sunday during the church in conference, we are going to protest. This manna, we are tired of manna. We don't want manna again. I know the rest of the story. They gathered and men and women plus their children began to weep and cry. Cry for what? We want meat. We want meat, oh God, we want meat. Meat. Is it because of meat that all of you, Papa, Mama, Pekin, they cry like this? Abba! And Moses went to God, and God said to Moses, I will give them meat. Moses also was surprised. He said, God, how will you give meat to these people? If you kill all the fish in the ocean, how will you take care of this over 1 million people? You know what God told Moses? God said to Moses, when did I become weak? And God brought meat. You know, for you to know that they lack manners, meat came. What was the first thing they were supposed to do? To say, Father, thank you for this meat. We appreciate you. They did not pray prayer of thanksgiving. They began to consume the meat. And God said, I will deal with you today. And the earth and maggots begin to come out of their nose. But what we are dealing with tonight is the fact that God will open your hand for you. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. May the Lord open his hand unto you tonight. I didn't hear your amen, no. When God opens his hand to you, wow, divine provisions. What is that thing that you need that is not in the hand of God? You need job. You need healing. You need breakthrough. You need this. You need that. All of them are in the hands of God Almighty. And once He opens His hand to you, you can be sure that there will be abundant provision. Hallelujah. You will enjoy supernatural revelations when the gracious hand of God comes upon your life. Supernatural revelation. I'm praying that the Lord will usher us to this realm tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I say, may the Lord usher us to this realm tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. That you will be in the corner of your room and you just call a sister by name. Say, Sister Deborah, please don't go out until the next 1 hour. What God is showing me about you now is not pleasant. Don't go out yet. Don't go out yet. And the next 1 hour, sister obeyed. And after that, she set out, only to discover that if she had gone out in the past 1 hour, it would have been tragedy. That happened how? By divine revelation. And this is not a function of whether I'm a pastor or not. Whether you're a woman or a man, a boy or a girl, it doesn't matter. When the gracious hand of God comes upon your life and begin to operate in this realm, it will be amazing. Amen. Amen. Let's read from verse 1 of Ezekiel chapter 1. In the 30th year, in the 5th month, on the 5th day, while I was among the exiles by the Kibar River, what happened? The heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. You know, the interesting thing is this. It wasn't only Ezekiel that was by that river, but it was only Ezekiel that was seen. And I said, God, why will you leave me out? Why will you single out just Ezekiel? That is only Ezekiel that is seeing visions of God. And the others were blank. They were follow to church. Everybody is gathering and collecting, experiencing God. Now to follow. Every spirit of follow, I bind it. I cast it out of my life. I cast it out of your life in the name of Jesus Christ. As others are experiencing God, may you also experience God. The heavens were open and I saw visions of God. Let's read further. Verse 2. On the 5th of the month, it was the 5th year of the exile of King Jehoiakim. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, by the Kebar River in the land of the Babylonians. There, the hand of the Lord was upon him. I looked and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like the four living creatures. In appearance, their form was that of a man, but each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, their feet were like those of a calf, and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had the hands of a man. All four of them had faces and wings, and their wings touched one another. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. Their faces looked like this. Each of the four had face of a man. and on the right side, each had the face of a lion, and on the left, the face of an ox, each also had the face of an eagle. Wonderful revelation. Let's stop there. Tonight, may the hand of the Lord come upon you for visions and revelations in the name of Jesus Christ. What some of us are used to is they, every night they must press you down. Press you, press you, press you, press you. The day they are not pressing you, they are feeding you. So before you wake up in the morning, you have eaten loy loy, you've eaten pounded yam. They give you fried rice on top and serve you communion on top. They give you ribena to drink in the dream. Every of those things tonight, may God cause you to vomit them. In the name of Jesus. There's no way a man will make progress when every night is satanic concoction you are eating. You can't make progress in business. You can't make progress in marriage. Life will be tough. But when the hand of God comes upon a man's life, like we see in Ezekiel, he operates in visions and revelations. Nothing will happen around you without you catching it before it happens. And you begin to pray about it. Now, many of us have entered into many troubles that could have been averted if our spiritual eyes were open. And tonight, may every blocked vision, may the Lord by his hand open such tonight by his gracious hand in the name of Jesus Christ. You used to operate in that realm before, but that experience is gone. The Lord will restore in Jesus' name. The gracious hand of God will bring supernatural multiplication. John chapter 6, verse 1 to 13. You remember the story of how the crowd came as usual to the meeting of Jesus. And Jesus, you know, asked the disciples, where shall we bread for these people to eat? In verse 5, Jesus is so compassionate that he would not just want to minister to the spiritual needs of his hearers, he also wants to take care of their physical needs. And the Bible says in verse 6, he asked this only to test them, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages will not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? That is the reality. How will Christ do it? To feed that crowd with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he finished all his grammar, you know what Jesus said in verse 10? Have the people sit down. Amen. And I see the Lord telling somebody here tonight, sit down. Relax. What is in your arm may be so small, insignificant, compared with what you want to do. But thank God that there's power in little things. When you give it to Jesus, the supernatural occurred. So my master told them, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place. And the men sat down. How many of them? About 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves. Amen. He took the loaves where? He took the loaves with his mouth or with his leg? He took the loaves with what? In his hand. And did what? Gave thanks. And distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, what does that mean? When they all had enough to eat, what does that suggest? Some ate round one, round two, round three. So when they were satisfied, what was the next thing they did? What did they do? Jesus now said to the disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled how many baskets? 12 baskets. How many loaves did the boy brought to the meeting? 5. How many fishes? And he was now going back home, because who else would they give the basket? It was a boy who sowed, who planted. And I'm sure he needed people to help him carry that back home that day. And as he was getting home, I can hear his mother asking, what is this? What meaneth thou? What is this that you are bringing to the house? Where did you get this basket from? Somebody's going home with basket. Basket of blessings tonight. I'm not sure I hear your amen, no? I say you are going with basketfuls of God's blessings, God's glory, God's grace. Anything in the hand of Jesus multiplies. If it has not multiplied, it's because his hand is here to touch it. Tonight, you will pray that God put your hand upon my life. When the hand of God comes upon you, so many things will happen that is beyond what we can be talking about. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You will experience supernatural security when the hand of God come upon your life. John chapter 10, verse 27 to 31. Let's just quickly flip through so that we can begin to pray. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. And they do what? They follow me. Please wait. We're still in that 27. The gracious hand of God is only for his sheep. If you have not given your heart to Christ, you are not yet born again. You are not a sheep yet. So tonight, I encourage you under God, give your life to Christ so that you can enjoy the gracious hand of God upon your life every day from this moment on. Verse 28. I give what? Them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Oh my God. I give them eternal life. Who are the they? Who are the they? I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know the threats of the enemy over your life. I don't know the intimidation of spiritual darkness over your destiny. But the word of the Lord to you, if you are a sheep, is that you will never perish. How? Or what is the reason? What is the confidence that Jesus had when he was saying that? He said, no no one. No one. No one can do what? Can snatch them out of what? Out of my hand. Can I ask you tonight again? Are you in the hand of Jesus? If you are not born again, you are not in the hand of Jesus. So, and the devil can do whatever he likes with you at any time. There's this song we used to sing, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. When you are in the hand of Jesus, you are in the best place. Safe and secure. Amen. Amen. Verse 29. Can you see Jesus speaking here again? It's as if, okay, in case you are even powerful enough, to take him out of my hand. Let's see whether you can do it with my Father. Can we read verse 29 together? My Father, who has given them to me, is what? Is greater than all. No one. Can you help me read this Bible passage dramatically? No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Can you particularize it? No one can snatch me out of my Father's hand. No one. Excuse me, what's the meaning of no one? No one is no one. Including Satan. Let him carry 10 heads and be doing like this. Like this. You to do like this. Ooh. Say no one. Say it is written. No one. Hallelujah. No one can snatch me out of my Father's hand. No power of air. No scheme of man. Can ever pluck me from his end till he returns or calls me home. This the power of Christ I stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you see why you can sleep and sleep well at night? Because no one can do what? Can snatch you out of your Father's hand. You say, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. Greater than all of them. All the principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. All the witches in your village. The one in the village, the one in township, the one that wear robes, all of them put together, all of them put together. Somebody is saying, Pastor, I'm not, this thing you are touching, don't put me in trouble, leave me out of it. Say, leave me out of it, oh, Pastor. Stop talking about them. Stop talking about them. I don't want trouble. When I get home, they're in my yard. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch me out of my Father's hand. I mean Papa's hand. Let me see. I will do like. Can you tell your neighbor, relax? Your Father is greater than all. No one can pluck you, can snatch you out of your Father's hand. Amen. When you get home, you go and read the rest. Supernatural conversion, supernatural judgment, Acts 13, verse 9 to 12. Every element opposing your life and destiny, the hand of the Lord will be stretched forth against them tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. 5 loaves and 2 fishes in the hands of the little boy was ordinary. But in the hands of Jesus, it was enough to feed the multitude. The rod in the hand of Moses was a mere rod. But in the hand of God, it was powerful enough to part the Red Sea. The rod jawbone in the hand of Samson was ordinary. But in the hand of God, it was powerful enough to kill 1,000 Philistines. The stone in the hand of David was a mere stone. But in the hand of God, it was powerful enough to bring down Goliath. Your life will remain ordinary until the gracious hand of God comes upon you. I encourage you to cry to God for his gracious hand tonight. And I believe something good will happen to you tonight. Something positive, something eternal will happen to you tonight. Something positive and eternal will happen to Equity Baptist Church tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Equity Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook at Equity Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.equitybaptistchurch.org.